Dr. Mitch Earlywine is author of the book Understanding Marijuana, A New Look at the Scientific Evidence, and serves on Normal's advisory board. Dr. Earlywine joins us each Wednesday here on the Audio Stash, and we have a separate archive of our conversations at normalaudiostash.com. Mitch is also Associate Professor of Psychology at State University of New York, and over the next few weeks, we'll be discussing issues that directly relate to all of you out there headed back to campus this fall. Mitch, welcome back to the program today.
Thanks for having me back, Chris.
Thanks again for joining us today. Mitch, let's talk about some of the issues that could particularly impact freshmen at America's college campuses. We're hearing a lot about the first-year weight gain commonly reported among freshmen. What's happening there for students?
Unfortunately, there's a national trend toward increasing rate for, you know, everybody in the United States, and I think this is part of that. But for years now, there's been this reputation for the freshman 15, where students come on campus, they end up eating in a dormitory that's often filled with carbohydrate-rich foods and the kinds of foods that they're not necessarily accustomed to eating. And people are really worried about this because this kind of sets a pattern that can end up being lifelong. If you, you know, gain weight early in life, it's very hard to take it off and keep it off. I think there are some wonderful steps that people can take in order to avoid this, and it's often as simple as just walking more. And on big campuses, that can be very easily done. And understanding, again, that eating is not a competitive sport. There's no need to go into the big dormitory cafeteria and say, I can eat more than this person, when, in fact, you know, that's not what's important. Eat to live rather than live to eat.
Also, Mitch, although the weight issue has received a lot of attention, something we've discussed on the program before, you know, what about binge drinking? Is this something that only comes up during spring break, or is this a problem at the beginning weeks of school as well?
Unfortunately, binge drinking is a problem when kids first arrive to school, particularly folks who haven't lived on their own before seem to see this as a big opportunity to do everything they didn't get to do when they were living with mom and dad. And unfortunately, they're not as experienced with alcohol as maybe their older peers are, and so they don't understand their limits. I think if everybody goes in with the idea that if you want to use alcohol and you're underage, guess what, that's illegal, but also to understand that you want to pace yourself, there's no need to play drinking games, there's no need to drink alcohol in a straight condition when you can always have a mixer, and that if you, you know, want to have alcohol, it's something to enjoy, not some kind of sport that you have to consume the most or be in any kind of competition about. And in truth, when you do big polls of, you know, national drinking habits, quite a few students don't drink at all, and those who do often drink only once or twice a week. So this perception that, oh, gee, everybody else is doing it and they're doing it in excess can really be distorted. So there's no need to think, oh, everybody's drinking all the time, I have to drink all the time too, because in fact, most people either don't drink at all or drink only once in a while.
You know, something I read this week in mainstream media coverage of the return to campuses said that many first-year college students become depressed. You know, how does a young person fight depression, especially if they're, say, alone on a big campus?
I think the key for that is to intervene early. So a lot of times, you're in a new environment and you don't know what you want to do and you think, well, I'm at school, I'm going to have to really buckle down and study all the time. In fact, studying all the time is great, but you have to have a break. You have to schedule fun things into your life every single day. Keep up with your exercise, which also seems to battle depression very, very well. If you're in a northern or a cold climate where there's not a lot of sunlight, you might consider buying one of those lamps that provides a certain amount of sunlight wavelength for you to keep depression at bay. And then all in all, it's a matter of just talking with your friends, making sure you stay connected with your folks back at home. And if you do feel like, hey, I'm starting to go into this really depressive state, go to the mental health center on campus early. Don't wait until you're ready to slit your wrists. Instead, go in as soon as you're feeling sad more often than not and say, I gotta intervene now. I'm going to prevent this from getting any worse. And then odds are you won't have to drop out. You won't have to leave school you'll form a good relationship with a therapist and end up doing very well.
Also, Mitch, when we talk about these health impacts like weight and drinking, you know, is the human body and brain, for that matter, fully formed at age 18? Are we physically done developing?
Yes, 18 is mature, but it's not the end of the maturation process. So, you know, I really want to honor all the freshmen who've achieved as much as they have and grown as much as they have, but it is true that their brains are still very much developing, and, you know, they're learning new skills just like anybody else at any age, and I think that in some ways alcohol can really interfere with that. If you find that you're, you know, the only way you can make friends is through drinking, or the only way you can have fun is through drinking, it's time to learn some new skills. It's time to learn some new ways to do those things. And in fact, that's what college is for, is for learning new things. This is a big opportunity to do that. By all means, take advantage.
Now, Mitch, let's talk about cannabis. Many people say the only time they smoked pot was in college, but there are some reports out there that suggest that cannabis may have a different effect on the teenage brain. So if you smoke cannabis at age 18, is it having a different effect on your brain than, say, someone 4 or 5 years older?
We don't have the data on right there at 18 itself, but folks who start using cannabis heavily before age 18 do seem to have some different reactions from folks who start later in life. I'll probably get booed off the classroom stage if I said this in certain settings, but the truth is there are a couple of studies to suggest that people who start smoking cannabis too soon end up not developing the same level of intelligence, not getting some of the same brain structure results and development that folks who use cannabis but started later in life end up having. It's just a fact of life. I wish it weren't the case, but in fact it really is.
So the safest route here would be to wait until you're 21, just like drinking.
I hate to say it. I hate to sound like such a paternalistic fool, but waiting till you're 21 is a really good idea when it comes to cannabis, alcohol, or really any psychoactive.
And Mitch, you touched on this before, that many students really don't binge drink, that they may not even drink at all. So the mainstream media coverage and impression of campus life with sort of constant drinking, football games and stuff like this, I'm sure it exists, but it's not the regular everyday college life. It's not the norm. So let me ask you, what do you see as campus life being right there at such a large school?
In fact, now I'm at a school that was the number one party school of 2004, and nobody likes that reputation here. It's such a, you know, misrepresentation of the folks I see. I teach a class on drugs and human behavior. You would think I would have the biggest collection of burnouts in the world. In fact, it's not the case at all. Many folks are interested in drugs, interested in alcohol, have curiosities about these things, but that doesn't mean they have to be problem users. So I find, yeah, my students drink about once or twice a week. They never drink more than about 3 or 4 drinks at a time. They tend to do it in a setting so that they don't have to drive, and they're actually very, very careful. And it's the exceptions who end up on the news, the ones who end up wrecking cars or wrecking their lives, who end up making great sound bites, but they are by far and away less common than the folks who can drink alcohol and not have any negative consequences.
Dr. Mitch Earlywine is Associate Professor of Psychology at State University of New York and author of the book Understanding Marijuana, A New Look at the Scientific Evidence. Mitch, thanks again for joining us today, and I look forward to our conversation next week.
Thanks so much.
We have links to Dr. Earlywine's book and a separate archive of our conversations at normalaudiostash.com.